We're speaking with Deborah Ayal, educator, songwriter, former lead singer of the group Romeo Void. Her new album is called Singing Until Sunrise. Deborah, thank you for speaking with us this evening.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. I'm glad to have you and be all the way across the country. I'm out in California, Sacramento.
How did you get started in the music industry?
Well, for one thing, it was just the idea of wanting to be in a band at the time. I had gotten turned on to Patti Smith when I was working in a preschool up in Eureka, California. And I always loved poetry. And in fact, I jumped on stage at a very young age at an anti-war rally to read a couple of my poems. That's how I got into rock and roll, actually. You know, not that I didn't grow up listening to AM radio and hearing everything from Motown to the English Invasion and the girl groups, you know, and all that, Memphis and our American scene. I didn't start thinking about performing, really, until after I'd gotten exposed to Patti Smith. And because I think she did that lyrical element to it, you know, of being poetic and having an artist worldview on the process, that I was attracted to it, because I never would have thought I'd be like a rock star. And in fact, I have to say that when I was growing up, we didn't call them rock stars.
What did you call them?
You know what I mean? I mean, as a child, you know, listening to Cream or Led Zeppelin or even going to concerts by Deep Purple, I don't remember it being a common term, rock star. Yeah, and now there's like a caffeine drink named after it, so the culture's really changed. It was just music, and they were musicians,
right,
and they were rock and roll musicians. You know what I mean?
I do, very much so.
I think just the times have changed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, so that's how I got excited about it. And I was going to see all the punk bands in San Francisco, like the Avengers. And I remember specifically one night seeing Penelope from the Avengers singing, and she went to the art school that I was going to at the time. She'd already been a student there and had moved on. And I always walked by her locker where she had written the lyrics to The American in Me on it. And then I went and saw her at a club in North Beach, and I thought, well, I can do this. You know, I think when I saw Patti doing it, still seemed like somebody pretty exotic had to get up there and do that thing, you know? Then when I saw Penelope, I thought, hey, she went to my school. Now she's up on stage. She's got something to say. And I thought, you know, I've got something to say. I'll start a band. And it kind of started with me and the bass player doing like performance pieces together. He'd get his drum machine and his bass, and I'd make up some lyrics, and I'd maybe do a video to it or something like that.
Well, tell us a little bit about Romeo Void. You guys had a very, very unique sound, and it was hard for me even then in those days to categorize it. You weren't exactly heavy metal, and you weren't exactly pop. And you had a very jazzy, almost Steely Danish-type sound to your music. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, we thought putting together disparate elements was cool. And our bass player and I, Frank and I, as I said, met at art school. And then we knew Peter, the guitar player, and loved his rhythmic playing. And so it was kind of easy for us to get together. And we added Benjamin later on down the line. And I'd say the key to the Romeo Void sound is kind of that really melodic bass line. And he was influenced by, you know, The Cure and Joy Division and that kind of, not almost droning, but melodic bass playing bands, you know, all the eighth note feel of that era. And I think that's kind of the root of the Romeo Void sound. But meeting an artist on sax like Benjamin Bossy, I mean, that truly made Romeo Void, in my mind, a step above right there. To have a, you know, a lead instrument as expressive and chaotic and just exuberant as that and responsive, that made us, like, to me, important. I think before that, we're trying to do our own thing in our own way and everything, but that gave us much more direction, I think. And certainly there was sax in rock and roll, you know, mm-hmm. from the very beginnings, you know, and Junior Walker and even like Roxy Music or bands like Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. There was some sax around Psychedelic Furs. But the way Benjamin played it, he had such a personality and such really more, when you say he had taken off from bop.
I would say he sounded a lot like early Charlie Parker, I would say. Lester Young,
okay.
more Lester Young than Charlie Parker.
Okay, yeah. So he had that real jazz thing rather than the R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me fit great because I was coming from the beat poets. Basically, that's, you know, when I was growing up and formulating my poetic voice, it was from the beats.
Kerouac.
Allen Ginsberg,
yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, the song that really brought you guys to my attention was A Girl in Trouble is a Temporary Thing. There's a story behind that song. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I had a best friend, and she was very courageous and at times foolish and definitely spontaneous. Sometimes she'd call me and tell me what had been going on in her life. And so she was a little bit of the model for the idea of singing a song of consolation. You know,
mm-hmm.
to be a pep talk. But I didn't really use any of her personal issues too much in the song. I was actually responding to Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. Because even though I loved to dance to that tune and even had the 12-inch version, you know, the long version, I didn't like the message, really. And I thought that's kind of a lousy thing for him to say to a woman who's come to him saying that after their intimacy, she could be having his kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, okay, well, this is my take on that.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You have a new album out called Singing Until Sunrise. Could you tell us uh-huh. a little bit about how that album came together and
yeah,
some of the artists and lyrics?
Okay, so in the years since Romeo Void was around, I've done a lot of different little bands and recording projects, but none more serious than with the songwriter and guitarist Peter Dunn. And him and I started writing songs in the late 90s together and even put a CD together called Knife in Water in the late 90s. And then I ended up moving out of San Francisco because I lost my apartment. And yet we kind of continued writing even over distance. I remember going to visit him for a weekend and us writing a new song because we were going to perform at an anti-war benefit. So him and I have been writing together a long time. And we put out a record in 2010 of songs that we had done together called Stay Strong. And I had recently moved back to California in 2009. So I had a chance to write six of those songs brand new on Stay Strong in 2010. And two of those songs ended up on my recent Singing Until Sunrise. And on Stay Strong, they were just songwriter versions done in his home studio. I mean, beautifully done, but not a live band feel because it was just him and I. So when I got a band together to promote Stay Strong by doing live shows, Peter wasn't really interested. He's been a longtime musician. He's got other things in the fire rather than going out and playing clubs for $50, you know, which I'm perfectly willing to do. And I know plenty of musicians are. We just like jumping on stage. So two of the songs on Singing Until Sunrise are from Stay Strong. They're Wait Out the Storm in 99.
Mm-hmm.
And Wait Out the Storm was the song that we wrote on the weekend for the anti-war benefit in 2002. 99 was written after I moved back to California. I was kind of cast out of the state by the economy. I lost my apartment in San Francisco in 2000 after living in San Francisco for 23 years.
Wow.
And so I like found myself in Southern California in the desert because it was cheap. And that's when I started really doing a lot of art teaching because I got hooked up with the Arts Council down there. Anyway, long story short, I wrote 99 about the highway between my hometown, basically, of Fresno, California, and Sacramento. And when I first moved back to California, I was driving up and down, going to visit my family again, just like I had my whole life gone up and down that highway. So things have changed around here, and I talk about that a little bit in the song. So that's on Singing Until Sunrise. The other two songs have equally different stories. When we started playing out live with my new band, I just loved the way they approach things, and I was having so much fun performing with them. So we knew we were going to be able to have a chance to go into the studio and do Wait Out the Storm in 99. We thought, let's do a new version of A Girl in Trouble. Mm-hmm. And Francis Buckley produced it, and he was like, you know, let's make it really different. So we were trying different things in the studio, and we pretty much the first feel that we tried out is the one that's now the new version of A Girl in Trouble. It just pretty much happened in an afternoon that that's how we were going to approach it. And it was so different. I didn't almost even know what to do with my vocals when we were first doing it. And so I went home that night and thought, everybody is really changing this song. I need to change what I'm doing on the song too. And so I came up with a variation in the chorus of the phrasing. And also I wrote a third verse. So there you go, Girl in Trouble. It's a new version. And then the last track, I know I'm kind of telling this story awful long, but the last track on the EP, Singing Until Sunrise, is a collaboration I did with Frank Sienkiewicz, who I originally started Romeo Void with. And he and I wrote it kind of in a more typical fashion with the drum machine, guitars, bass, in the late 90s. And then he surprised me by pulling my vocal off those old demos and putting it on top of a brand new electronica track that he had come up with. And I have just loved it ever since he sent it to me. So knowing I was getting this opportunity to put out these other three songs, I thought, well, let's just make a big, fat old 12-inch purple EP on vinyl. And it'll just be really something special. It'll have these new band versions of the songs I wrote with Peter off Stay Strong. It'll have a brand new version of A Girl in Trouble. So that's, you know, noteworthy in my opinion, you know, from probably most of my fans' point of view, you know, people who loved that song the first time around. And then this cool collaboration with Frank. So I funded it through Kickstarter.
Really?
Yeah, I did a Kickstarter campaign to pay for the vinyl and the CDs and everything. It didn't actually cover everything, you know. Of course, I went over budget and everything. But still, it was such a big help, and it was really fun to realize the support is out there for an indie artist like me who's like a teacher for a living. And, okay, teachers don't make that much, and you know what? I don't even have a full-time job. I'm just part-time. So getting your record made these days can be cheaper because of home studios and all that. My husband's an audio engineer, so we didn't have to pay for any engineering, you know, and that sort of thing. And musicians, you know, love to play. So, you know, if you say, I'm making a record, they'll come to the sessions, you know. And but really, to get it over the top, having those Kickstarter fans and funds really made it happen.
So what's next for Deborah Isle?
What's next for me is we're going to do a big show on May 5th. It's going to be an evening with, so I'll be doing two sets live. And then we're hoping to book kind of a summer tour of sorts, like maybe to the Northwest over 3 or 4 days, and then maybe down to Southern California. And then if we can get added to any, like, festivals or something like that, you know, that we could go to, getting out there in front of people, that'd be good. And then I'd like to do some recording by the end of the summer and work up some more new songs.
The name of the album is called Singing Until Sunrise. Deborah Isle, thank you so very much for taking out your time to speak with us.
It's been my pleasure.